Chapter 5. Helotyne, Canticus, Imperial-held territory. They reached the laager of armored personnel carriers where Sepelius had set up his apothecarian. Ahead of Varlin, Dercius, and the injured Naib, trails of wounded snaked from various medical stations. Most were Cadians, battered and brutalized, tramping wearily in long trains like a coffle of slaves. Some travelled via stretcher, others were covered from sight, being taken for the pyre, not the Medicae. Entire troop holds of Chimera transports were filled with the dead. Varlin had seen their bodies. White shields, troopers, Kasrakin, even commissars. None were spared the Black Legion's wrath or thirst for blood. Overhead, the low turbine thrum of engines was a constant drone as slow-moving storm ravens ferried the salamanders dead and injured. As he looked up at the shadow of one passing over them, Varlin wondered if Sorad was aboard. He also caught Kaidak's eye for a moment, following a few steps behind the others, and glanced away. Munitorum clerks would record the latest Canticus engagement as a victory, but Varlin and the others who had fought in the battle knew it was a Pyrrhic one at best. Xantho's armoured intervention had cost them ground elsewhere. Where one point of pressure was relieved, another was redoubled. So far, during these first weeks of engagement, all the Imperium had managed to achieve was a grinding stalemate. Varlin wondered why, and also what the Black Legion wanted with this world, beyond mere bloody conquest. Speculation would have to wait. As they reached the edge of the laager, Sepelius awaited. Varlin had already sent the others back to barracks for weapons and armor repair. Without Iaptus, who was still on the recently won battlefield with Xantho, there were only four of the original squad present. Upon seeing the battered assault squad tramping through his gates, the apothecary asked, "More meat for the grinder, brothers?" Dercius handed over Naib to a pair of medical servitors Sepelius had sent to meet them. The servos of the cyborganic creatures strained audibly as they took the injured salamander's weight. Naib knew little about it. He had been going in and out of consciousness for the last few minutes. Varlin was relieved his brother would finally be getting some medical attention.
"Seems I have a butcher's lot already," added the apothecary in a sibilant voice.
The improvised medical station inside the laager's armoured boundary was capacious. Warriors from 6th stood sentinel in storm bolter turrets, and small squads of Cadian 81st patrolled the periphery, with fingers poised next to lasgun triggers. An air of unease pervaded on account of a battle barely won. Nearby, a large area had been staked out and delineated as a landing pad. The storm raven Varlin had seen flying overhead earlier had just finished unloading its mortal cargo and was cycling its turbine engines as it prepared to get airborne again.
"Is that what we are to you, Sepelius? Meat?"
Dercius could not keep the distaste out of his voice.
"Anything other, and I fear the trauma of seeing so much death would unhinge me, brother."
Sepelius smiled, but it was cold and utterly without humour. The apothecary wore predominantly white armour, though it was stained by now with blood and dirt. One shoulder guard displayed his allegiance to the chapter. Unlike the assault squad's green drakehead sigil on a field of black, Sepelius was part of Drakguard's command squad and wore the same drakehead against a backdrop of fiery yellow. His face was long, his forehead pronounced. An ugly man, in many ways, not that this concerned Sepelius remotely. He was tall, also, and marginally looked down on the warriors before him. His hair was shorn close to his scalp and winter white, much like his demeanour.
"Just patch him up, brother apothecary,"
said Varlin, cutting through the needless posturing.
I have need of him, as does the grinder.
The servitors were carrying Naieb away into a busy throng of medics and walking wounded. Sepelius had already established a system of triage and was prioritizing Adeptus Astartes over guard. From the sheer number of injured against the amount of medical staff present, it looked like they had a long night ahead of them.
He'll be ready for death again come the morning, Varlin,
Sepelius replied as the other three salamanders turned to leave.
Tell me, he called, are your thoughts still troubled?
Varlin cursed under his breath, but kept on walking. Against his better judgment, before he knew how caustic Sepelius could be, he had gone to the apothecary about his experiences in the Fire Canyons back on Nocturne. Upon meeting the man, Varlin's instincts had warned him against saying too much, but now Sepelius would not let it go.
What's he talking about?
Asked Dercius with a scathing glance over his shoulder at the apothecary. Kaidak said nothing and kept his eyes forward, but Varlin could tell he was also intrigued.
I confided in someone I shouldn't have, brother. There's no more to it than that.
A spit of flame overhead and the aggressive roar of jump jets interrupted as the descending figure of Sergeant Iaptus prevented any further awkward questioning. He seemed agitated.
Decius, Kaidak, rejoin the rest of the squad back at camp. Brother Varlin, you are with me.
Iaptus boosted away again immediately, and Varlin followed.
Brother Sergeant?
He asked across the vox, which was now fully functional again.
Captain Drakkard has recalled all officers not currently in the field. Apparently there has been a change in our war footing on Helitine.
Because of Canticus and Xantho's redeployment? As they soared over the city, leaping from one ruin to the next, Varlin was afforded a good view of the fires and wreckage the war had wrought so far. Canticus appeared as if it had been ransacked, and he wondered again at the motives of their enemies. Through the darkness and drifting smoke, Varlin picked out the phosphor lamps of a hexagonal landing pad and the bulky storm raven there with engines idling.
That and something else,
Iaptus replied as they touched down 30 meters from the waiting gunship.
Allies, said Iaptus, speaking without the vox as they tramped across the earth. Sisters of the Ebon Chalice.
Sororitas?
Iaptus turned his gaze on Varlin.
The Ecclesiarchy's warrior zealots have come to Helitine for throne only knows what reason.
The front hatch of the 4th Company Stormraven descended to form a ramp. Iaptus and Varlin climbed aboard to make the remainder of the journey to Escadan and the Imperial encampment.